Today on The Grave Talks, Pet Communication, a conversation with Carrie Kennedy. Growing up, Carrie Kennedy knew she had an ability. Exactly what that ability was, how she got it, or what to do with it was the bigger question. Carrie seemed to have an ability to sense things to a very accurate degree, far beyond just intuition or wild guess. As she got older, she understood that she was psychic and had an ability to read her messages from the other side. Messages not only from people, but pets and animals as well. Today, we discuss those experiences and abilities with Carrie Kennedy on The Grave Talks.
Well, I've always been drawn to the paranormal since I was very little. My house was definitely haunted as a child. I could feel everything. I mean, it felt so thick. The air felt so thick when I would walk downstairs. And I literally, when I was downstairs in my home, in my childhood home, I had to run back up the stairs because I felt like people were chasing me back up the stairs. I mean, little did I know, you know, I was a medium and feeling all these spirits. I believe they were Native American spirits because I live in Lexington, Kentucky, where a lot of Native American folks died there.
Sure.
But, you know, I felt them so strongly in my home. And interestingly enough, we had a huge amethyst rock outside of my house. And I think that really helped open up my, you know, third eye and got that intuition going too. My grandmother, my maternal grandmother, was also very intuitive. I didn't know that until later, but so, you know, probably genetic, probably a little bit of, you know, living in this haunted house and just experiencing this as a kid. When I was little, I remember I didn't even want to put my arm outside of my blanket because somebody would touch it. That's how haunted I felt. And I didn't tell soul. This is crazy. I didn't tell anybody because nobody talked about it back then, you know, early 80s. I mean, at least my family didn't talk about it. So I was always drawn to the paranormal. I read books about it. My father hated this, but I, you know, racked up the phone bill, calling 1-800 psychic lines, always asking for, you know, is this going to happen? Or, you know, does this guy like me or whatever?
Sure.
And so I didn't really realize I was psychic until much later.
How did that come about? I mean, a lot of times when you're a child and you're just kind of growing up, you don't necessarily realize maybe not everybody feels this way or not everybody has this sort of intuition or power or this or that. What was it for you where you realized that, hey, I think I'm psychic?
Well, I mean, everybody kind of told me I was really sensitive growing up. Mm-hmm. And I knew that I was really deeply feeling, you know, as a kid.
Yeah.
I knew that I had really crazy good memories. And of course, your emotions, being able to remember things is tied to your emotions. And that's probably why I remember things from when I was 2 years old on. But it wasn't until I was in my 20s and I was writing in, you know, creative journals, and I was writing poetry and all kinds of stuff, and my handwriting started changing. Mm-hmm. And that's when I was literally doing what's called automatic writing. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know what it was at the time, but I was channeling thousands of spirits, you know, like, and it would be stuff, you know, like, my name is Sam from Dallas. Please tell so-and-so that blah, 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 you know? And I just, all of this stuff just flooded out. And my, you know, this was definitely not my handwriting, you know, and then I would get messages from my own family. And it freaked me out, to be quite honest. It freaked me out so much that I stopped writing in my journals and I just pushed it away. And I think at that point, I really did know that I was psychic. Mm-hmm. I just didn't know what to do with it.
Sure.
you know, because none of my friends talked about it. Nobody around me was psychic. And then I moved down to Charleston, South Carolina, and I got attuned in Reiki. And for those who don't know what Reiki is, it's energy healing. It's like, it's kind of like acupuncture without the needles.
Okay.
So I got attuned in Reiki. I got Reiki sessions for myself. Excuse me. Sure. And that kind of opened something more up for me. And, you know, just being by the ocean, I think did too. I was just wide open. And my uncle, when I was 32, he passed away. And my uncle was very much like a father to me. And so I was very upset when he died. And the next day I was sitting in my room crying. And I was like, Uncle Jim, if you can hear me, can you please just let me know you're okay? And that's when I heard, I'm okay. I love you, really loudly in my head. Mm-hmm. And that's when I knew that I really was psychic. And that, and you know, because I was allowing it to happen at that point, yeah, that's when the floodgates just opened up. And so, you know, then I started practicing. I started practicing on friends and family. I had a friend named Carrie also, and I kept asking her, like, are you pregnant? She's like, no, I'm not pregnant. I was like, well, who's Noni? And she said that was her great grandmother on the other side. Mm-hmm. And she said, well, I did just have a miscarriage though. And I said, well, Noni has your daughter and she's going to send her back to you in 4 months. And sure enough, 4 months later, my friend Carrie got pregnant with her daughter.
Wow.
But she still has, you know, obviously is alive today.
Yeah.
So that's the point where I was like, okay, maybe I'm supposed to be giving these messages to people. Mm-hmm. And so that's how it kind of started. I started, you know,
yeah,
really getting into it with friends and family. And then I started practicing on strangers. And I remember some of my first readings, I would like write stuff down and then hand it to them. And I was like, does any of this make sense?
Sure.
Because I was still doing like automatic writing.
Yeah. And I want to talk about the automatic writing a little bit. That's a real interesting thing. The first time that you had that occur, were you aware of what it was? Were you trying to go through it and try to let that work? Or did it just kind of happen as you were in your journal?
In my journal, in my 20s, I had no idea that that was even a thing.
Okay.
It was just happening through me.
Yeah.
It's happened my whole life. I remember in third grade, I wrote a poem, mm-hmm, and it had all these big words in it. And I took it to my mom and she's like, I'm like, look at this poem I wrote. And she's like, you didn't write that. But I had channeled. I mean, yeah, I had channeled all that stuff.
Sure.
I wish I still had that poem, but.
Yeah, that'd be interesting. Yeah. So with these, you know, abilities and this sensitivity to things on the other side, and you said you really couldn't talk about it much as a child or if at all, have you opened up to your family about it, you know, since then, now that, you know, you're an adult? Have you been able to communicate and what's their take on any of these things?
Oh, yeah. Oh, they definitely know. You know, at first, of course, they were like, okay, Carrie, whatever. You know,
yeah,
right. You know, my father is actually a doctor and, you know, so he's scientific and mathematical. Sure. And, but he was actually more open than I thought he would be. He believes that, you know, spirits do exist. He's seen a lot of people die and, you know, I think has had experiences with souls leaving their bodies. Mm-hmm. And my mom, she was pretty open to it. She didn't think I was lying or anything.
Yeah.
And, you know, they both see me on TV. So, mm-hmm, you know, I will say I've had a lot of friends that just didn't believe me. And I've had to, you know, get a new set of friends because
sure.
You know, people sure out there, that's okay. If you don't have an experience with it, mm-hmm, you're not going to believe it, you know?
Sure. Sure.
I'm not here to change anyone's beliefs. So.
Exactly. Tell me, I mean, when someone, you know, says the word psychic, a lot of people have their, you know, preconceived notions. And I'm sure the first thing you hear is like, what's the lottery numbers, you know, or things like that.
Right.
What does it mean to you to be psychic?
It means that you have an all-knowing, I mean, it means many things. It means that you are tapped into the collective consciousness. You're tapped into the universe. You have the ability to feel what another person is feeling in their body. Mm-hmm. You have the ability to feel what an animal is feeling. You have the ability to get out of your own way and what I call go into the gap and just really listen to what maybe the messages are from spirit, from source, that you need to give that person or that they are meant to receive that day to further their path or, you know, to help them get closer to where they need to be.
Mm-hmm. When someone, you know, knows what you do and they want to come up to you and ask you like, well, what do you feel on me? Is there always something there for anyone that would come up to you? Is there sometimes just there's no current messages right now? Or is there always something that you can pick up on when you come across any individual at random? Are you feeling different things for each individual person?
I feel an immense amount of a lot of stuff for every person I look at.
Okay.
Yeah, not just people who come up and talk to me, but yeah. Anybody I look at, I get an immediate download of information. And mm-hmm. I'm not trying to tune into anybody without their permission. Sure. I follow a code of ethics, but it just happens. I can't help it.
Sure.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's immediate knowing.
It's just like it's always on. It's not necessarily like something you can flip off and go, this isn't going to happen right now. You may be able to say, I'm not going to pay attention to the information that's coming in, but it's going to come in regardless. Is that accurate?
That's very accurate.
Okay.
Yes.
Cool. I love kind of digging into these just to kind of get an understanding of how this works, you know, for someone who doesn't have those abilities, because it seems like these questions aren't discussed very much. It's always just like, what's this? What's that? Like, but how does it feel? What is it like? So thank you for answering some of those things. Now, obviously, you know, you have these abilities. It's one thing, you know, to be able to read or to get messages from people. But you also do this with animals as well.
I do. Yeah. That's my main love. It's doing animal readings. I mean, I love talking to, you know, people on the other side. That's my specialty really is mediumship. Mm-hmm. And I do what's called life clarity or general psychic readings for people where I really teach them about the law of attraction and, you know, how their thoughts create everything around them in their world. But I absolutely love doing pet readings. That's a lot of fun.
Now, this is an interesting one. I mean, obviously, and I love that you use the word download, because that's the way I've been describing this sort of thing for years, because I think a lot of people envision like, well, there's voices that just tell you these things. It's like, no, I think it's more of a boom, the data's there. And then you're kind of trying to translate it in your mind. But when it comes to pets, obviously the first thing someone's going to go, well, how do you understand what they're saying? Because they're animals and obviously we don't speak dog. But is it much more of a download where it's, you know, it's like a universal communication. It's not, you know, you're not hearing barks and going, well, let's see what this is. It's the emotion. It's the feeling. Is that accurate?
I actually have heard audible barks.
Really?
Like, I've heard an audible bark and an audible meow of a cat and a dog on the other side.
Oh, wow.
But only once in my lifetime. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
So when I hear animals mm-hmm. speak to me, I it's the same way as I get communication from people. It's all telepathic. Mm-hmm. So I either get a knowing or I get, it sounds like, you know, my own thoughts in my head, mm-hmm. but it comes in way more quickly, and it's more subtle, and it's more random than mm-hmm. just my thoughts.
Okay. Now, how does this, I mean, I'm this is all opinion, and I want to understand, you know, the belief system here, the logistics of how this works. You know, obviously animals die, people die. And you know, everyone has different beliefs on where the things go. It's like, well, are they hanging around here? Are they going to a better place? Are they going to a not so better place? You know, with animals and pets, you know, obviously a lot of us end up having quite a few throughout our lives, mm-hmm. on the living side of things. What happens when they pass? Are they still there by us the whole time? Do they show up on demand when trying to have some sort of communication with them? How does this work?
Well, in a lot of near-death experience, people can, you know, back this up, that they do see like a tunnel and a light, and they often are greeted by family members, or, you know, their biological dog mom, or, mm-hmm. you know, cat dad or whatever. And they immediately feel just this immense joy and love and peace and bliss. It's, and they tell me it's nothing that we could possibly wrap our heads around, mm-hmm. because it's, you know, down here is where the suffering is, right? They tell me that this is Earth school. This is where the suffering is. There's no negative emotion on that side. There's no suffering. There's no hell as it is, you know, talked about here. That's not accurate. Mm-hmm. And I've been doing this for 15 years now, mm-hmm. and every human spirit and animal spirit, they all tell me that.
Interesting. It's almost like they really want to get that point across, you know?
They really do. And I was raised a Christian, and I was raised, excuse me, to not believe in reincarnation, but all animals and spirits tell me that we reincarnate over and over again. Sometimes in animals specifically, sometimes multiple times during one person's lifetime to that same person.
You know, that's an interesting thing. I've wondered that, you know, and I think almost anyone who has pets and has a bit of an imagination, you know, after you've had a series of pets, if you get another one that has a very similar personality to one that passed away many years ago, I think a little bit of us always kind of wonders, is this the same animal? You know, like physically it's, you know, there's no thing out there that makes that a possibility. You know, as far as we are aware in the, you know, like the scientific community, but when we're talking about this in a spiritual realm, that is something I've always wondered about.
Yeah. It always fascinates me when I come across that, and, the animal will usually tell me that right away. It's pretty cool. It happened to me. I had a cat that died in third grade. He was hit by a car, mm-hmm. and it was really traumatic for me. It was, you know, my first ever death that I had experienced. Mm-hmm. And now he's back as my 16-pound Norwegian forest cat. he helps me do readings every day. And, you know, he's been with me 9 years so far, during this time around, and he's just taught me so many things. So I'm just amazed at the fact that they can find us. They always find us, by the way. Mm-hmm. But the synchronicities and the complexity of them finding us every single time, what it takes for that to happen, it just amazes me.
Well, yeah, I mean, especially it's not like, you know, an animal dies and you're like, okay, let's go breed some cats and hope that the other one shows up. You know, it's like, well, I got this one as, you know, a rescue, or I got this one, you know, from this breeder or from this pet store or whatever it may be. But that's the part that is so tricky. It's the randomness of coming across the animal again, you know, almost in a it was meant to be type scenario.
Right. And it's not random, because it's an exact it's all in divine timing, you know? Yeah.
It's like something knew the path that we would take to get from point A to point cue to get to that animal. It's one of those things where you go those steps and it all just seems to work out. Oftentimes, you know, you think that there's no such thing as coincidences, because sometimes things just work out to such a crazy level. It's impossible to explain. How did you begin to look into the animal thing and move into that direction? Because that's not something that you hear of all that often.
Yeah, I kept doing the people mediumship readings, and I started to get, you know, pretty good at those. I actually trained, I did a weekend long course in Charleston, South Carolina for mediumship. And I started, you know, really doing the mediumship a lot. And the more I did that, the more animals kept coming through from the other side. Like, mm-hmm. I asked this one lady, why do I keep seeing a yellow bird around you? And she was like, oh yeah, that was my yellow bird I had for 12 years. And I started, you know, telling her things about her bird. And I was like, you know, it just kept happening. So I was like, what if there's something to this? So I just started reading about animal communication, and Penelope Smith, who is the guru, the founder of animal communication, at least here in our country, and basically taught myself how to do it. And it's, you know, it's very similar to people mediumship. It's just that it's an animal. So, and then that kind of evolved into living animals. And, you know, I just took it from there. And I love to say that, you know, I was actually attacked by a dog when I was six. And I kind of joke that, you know, it's the Peter Parker effect that made me more aware of animals. And you know, I think it really did, without joking, it really made me be hyper aware of any animal in my energy field. So sure.
Very interesting. I mean, and let's talk about that a little bit more, about, you know, the way that you communicate with them and having that moment of, you know, these animals have a message too. What was some of your first experiences there where you really felt like, I think I'm getting a message here from this animal?
You mean when I was younger or when I was older, like doing readings?
Yeah, with animals in general, like when you look back, what were some of the early times where you remember how kind of knowing that you're communicating with the animal? And let me ask you this too. Can you communicate back towards the animal as well, or is it just a reading from the said animal?
Oh, yes. It's a two-way communication with the animal. So it's just like a conversation between me and you.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, and this is with ones that are deceased and as well as living?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Is the animal, like just for example, if you're there, I mean, have you witnessed this, you know, having that two-way communication with an animal within the room? Can you sense that they realize you're connecting with them in that way?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I do a lot of phone readings because, mm-hmm. you know, I have clients all over the country and actually all over the world, really.
Sure.
And people often tell me that their dog will sit and stare at them while I'm talking to the dog.
Wow.
Yeah.
They know. Yeah. That's very interesting. Well, yeah. You had asked me if I wanted you to do a reading for me. So I just sent you a picture of, cause we can do this with living animals, of my dog Sting, and I'll let you go from there.
He is absolutely precious.
Thank you.
Oh, I love yellow lab, right?
A golden, actually. He's an English golden. So he's pretty white.
Okay. I grew up with a golden retriever.
Yep.
Love them. Okay. Well, let me ask his permission if I can talk to him.
Okay.
Hi, Sting. Can I talk to you? Oh, he's a goofball. He is a goofball. Okay. He just said eight, but was he born in August or is he 8 years old?
I would have to guess he's not eight. I know he's only about three. Eight?
Okay.
I don't know his exact birth date. I guess it would probably be, no, it would have been really early in the year. So I don't know the significance of eight.
Did you get him at 8 weeks old? Have you had him since then?
Yes, it would have been around that time.
Okay. They like to tell me like stuff, you know, random stuff
sure,
like that.
Sure.
Okay. He says he's your little shadow. He follows you around all the time.
Mm-hmm.
He does not like to get his nails clipped. Somebody got his quick. Did you know that?
What's that?
Somebody got his quick on his front right paw.
Yes, that did happen.
Yep. And he's like, don't ever do that to me again.
He did not like that.
He loves his treats. He just showed me pepperoni.
Yep.
Yep. Those are his all-time favorite. And he's saying peanut butter. He loves peanut butter.
Interesting. I don't think I've given him peanut butter.
Huh.
Unless my daughter has, which is possible.
Yeah. Ask your daughter because he's showing me peanut butter.
Okay.
And he's saying that your daughter has put things on him, like, you know, an outfit or whether that's necklaces or, you know, stuff like that. And he thinks this is funny.
That does happen quite frequently.
Yep. I want to almost say a purple tutu. Pink tutu?
Yeah, something of that nature. She's got a couple of them up there.
Yeah. He loves when you play with his ears, he says. Makes him really sleepy. And when you kiss his forehead. So you do that a lot?
I do.
I love it. Did you have a knee injury?
Me? No.
Hmm. Anybody in your house?
A knee injury? No.
Okay, then he's talking about his knee. So his front right knee is sore. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
Yep, I would check that out. Just keep a watch on that.
Okay.
He says you're about to travel.
That is true. It's very true, yeah.
He says, can I go with you?
I wish you could, buddy, but I think my mom would freak out.
Okay, let me tell him he can't. He's asking, how long are you going to be gone? Because he's upset that you're leaving.
About a week, and the neighbors will come over and take care of you.
Okay, let me show him. What are their names so I can tell him?
Mr. Carey.
Okay, is he tall?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, I'm seeing a tall guy coming over. Okay, so Sting, this is who's going to come feed you. And then daddy's going to come back. And while you're away, if you can show him in your mind what you're doing, just picture visual images. He's going to understand that.
Like, think about the dog. And so how would I just kind of essentially visualize the idea of communicating with him and sending him out?
So kind of picture what you're doing. Like if you're, you know, eating breakfast somewhere, you know, show him you're eating breakfast.
Okay.
Or show him coming back in the door and greeting him. That's little things you can do to keep in communication with him while you're gone. And even if you don't think he's getting the communication, he's getting it, no matter where you are in the world. Because he's always tuned into you. That's why dogs show up at the door like 10 minutes before you even get home.
Interesting. Because
they're very, very psychic.
I had no idea. Yeah, okay.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
I was just saying, I had no idea. That's very interesting.
Yeah, let me see what other secrets he has to tell about you.
Okay.
Well, he just showed me Doritos. Did the kids give him Doritos?
Yesterday, he pulled a bag of Doritos out. And he rarely ever does that. He just came out of the pantry with it in his mouth. I'm like, nope, we're not having that.
He really wanted those Doritos, he says.
I think he gets fed Doritos quite a bit from
just
my
to
daughter.
Have something different.
Yeah.
He does love chicken.
Okay.
He showed me chicken. He showed me hot dogs. I'm going to scan his body. I do what's called body mapping.
Okay.
I get inside his body and feel what he's feeling. He feels really good. He does feel a little bit itchy.
Mm-hmm.
And when I feel that, It's usually allergic to something in the food or environmental allergy. I'm just curious, what brand of food do you have them on?
I believe it's the Purina One, I think is what it is.
Yeah, and I just encourage you to do your research. There's probably a better brand out there.
Sure.
I would just Google, you know, like best brands of dog food, mm-hmm. 2021, and just see what it comes up with. I tell everybody about the Farmer's Dog because it's human grade food for your dog.
I've heard of that. Yeah.
Yeah. They love it, apparently. Oh, he's showing me squirrels. He's showing me watching the squirrels and the birds, and he says, I want to walk twice a day. Can we walk twice a day?
Okay.
And he says, will you let me sniff? Will you be more patient with me and let me sniff?
I get it. He's constantly going around the edges of our house right now because it's getting colder. So you have more like mice kind of running along your like the bottom near the foundation area. And he's loving that. He's always out there looking.
Yeah. And I actually just learned that sniffing is one of their basic behaviors, just like peeing and pooping and eating and all that. Let's see. What else do you want to tell me, Sting? He says that you sing to him.
I do sometimes. Yes. He loves 1980s and 90s soft rock.
Well, he loves it when you sing to him.
That wraps up the first part of our conversation with Carrie. In part two, more messages from my dog, Sting. What if you had a pet that you didn't like or didn't like you? Are they still around us on the other side? Is it only deceased pets that can come through clearly? Or how does it work when communicating with the living? And has a message from a pet ever helped solve a crime? Until next time, for The Grave Talks, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.